This conference is being recorded.
Good afternoon and welcome to all. This tele-news conference is on the subject of reducing human dioxin exposure. The news conference is jointly provided by New York Public Interest Research Group and Cancer Action New York. Today is the day when the New York State DEC regulation banning open waste burning statewide takes full effect. Honor to New York State DEC. Our news conference features an expert panel composed of, number one, Laura Height with the New York Public Interest Research Group. The second speaker will be Dr. David Carpenter, SUNY Albany Institute for Environment and Health. The third speaker will be Dr. Arnold Schechter, University of Texas at Dallas School of Public Health. And then I will speak last, Donald Hussig with Cancer Action New York. And I'm going to pass the ball to Laura Height at this time for further progress here.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for joining this teleconference. We will be emailing you all a copy of the news release shortly, and if you didn't receive one, please send me an email at kate@nyperg.org, N-Y-P-I-R-G.org, L-H-A-I-G-H-T. Starting today, we can all breathe easier now that open trash burning is banned in New York State. These regulations are long overdue. Since 1972, the state has prohibited open burning in communities with populations over 20,000, but burning trash has continued to be a common practice in many less densely populated rural parts of the state. Under the new regulations that go into effect today, burning residential garbage in outdoor burn barrels or open pits is prohibited in all communities, regardless of their size. There are limited exemptions for certain activities such as brush burning, campfires, and cooking fires, which you can find out more about on the DEC website. Today's news conference is to talk about how this is a major milestone for public health in New York. As the mixture of items entering our waste stream has gotten more toxic, so have the fumes from burning it. Today's household waste contains a mix of polyvinyl chloride plastics and other types of plastics, treated wood, bleached and colored paper, and hazardous materials such as batteries. Burning these materials together in outdoor burn barrels at low temperatures releases a witch's brew of toxic smoke and fumes, including dioxins, furans, arsenic, carbon monoxide, benzene, styrene, formaldehyde, lead, and hydrogen cyanide. Smoke and fumes from outdoor garbage burning contaminate our air, water, and food with dioxins and other toxic chemicals and can cause breathing activities. They can cause breathing difficulties such as asthma attacks. In addition, open burning is by far the largest cause of wildfires in New York State, which is why not only environmental and health advocates have been pushing for this ban, but also firefighters and emergency responders. Groups and concerned citizens have been fighting for years to extend this ban to cover the entire state. Since 1995, the Assembly has supported such legislation, but the Senate failed to act. Right now, all the states surrounding New York ban open burning except for Pennsylvania. We applaud Commissioner Granis and the Department of Environmental Conservation for finally getting the job done after an extensive public review process, which began in May 2008 and involved two rounds of public comment and hearings across the state. For far too long, people living in New York's rural communities have had to breathe noxious fumes from open burning. We look forward to working with the DEC, the Health Department, and local agencies to ensure that everyone is aware of this new ban, understands why it is so important, and that people make the switch to safer practices. Our next speaker will be Dr. David Carpenter.
Hi, and thanks for joining us on this telephone press conference. The major source of dioxin exposure in the U.S. today, and certainly in New York, is backyard open barrel burning. Now, 20 years ago, the main source of dioxin was incineration, but thanks to the Clean Air Act, the release of dioxin from incinerators, whether municipal or medical incinerators, has been just dramatically reduced. Now, as Laura has just mentioned, there are a great variety of different chemicals that are released from low-temperature burning of household trash. But the one that I think we all feel is the most important is dioxin. Dioxin is not something that humans ever make intentionally. It's a byproduct of combustion, and it is produced whenever anything that contains chlorine is burned at a relatively low temperature. You get a little dioxin formed from a forest fire, but in the household trash scheme, the major source of the formation of dioxin is burning plastics. And if plastic, which contains chlorine, is burned at a temperature less than about 2,000 degrees, which you now have in incinerators, and you certainly don't achieve in a backyard burn barrel, then dioxin is formed. It goes into the air, it deposits on the garden vegetables, it deposits on the grass that the cows eat, it gets into our food supply. Dioxin is a fat-soluble substance. There's some dioxin in all animal fats, in dairy products, in eggs, in meats, and we must get dioxin out of the food supply. And the only way to get dioxin out is to reduce the dioxin that is released and then gets into the environment, because ultimately it gets into the food supply. So why are we so concerned about dioxin? Dioxin is rated by both the National Toxicology Program, by the World Health Organization, as a proven human carcinogen. Dioxin causes cancer. And on the basis of how EPA regulates carcinogens, the assumption is that a carcinogenic substance increases the risk of cancer at any concentration. In other words, there's no concentration of dioxin that doesn't increase the risk of developing cancer. That's clearly the most significant reason why banning backyard burn barrels is important. Now, dioxin unfortunately causes a variety of other diseases as well. These are not perhaps as well understood, but dioxin increases the risk of heart disease, of diabetes, probably of hypertension. Dioxin alters endocrine systems, changes sex hormone functions, increases risk of diseases such as endometriosis. So it's a very nasty substance. And it's clearly something that needs to be restricted in its formation as much as possible. As I said, nobody intentionally makes dioxin. It's a product of combustion. So therefore, we really applaud the DEC in this action to prohibit backyard burn barrels. Now, at the same time, I think it's important to recognize that this can be a major problem for people living in rural areas, farmers particularly, where there isn't any routine trash pickup. You go in the countryside, I'm a farmer, I understand this. You go in the countryside, all of these big bales of hay are wrapped in plastic. What does a farmer do with that plastic? Up until now, they've tended to burn it. And when they burn that plastic, plus the household trash, it forms dioxin, it gets into the food supply, gets into your bodies and my body and the bodies of our children. So there needs to be some recognition of the difficulties in rural areas where there isn't routine trash pickup, but we do need to reduce the formation of dioxin everywhere we can, and the most efficient way of doing that right now is to ban backyard burn barrels. Thank you. Arnie Schechter, you're next.
Thank you for the invitation. A great deal has just been covered. We started looking at dioxins in 1982 in Binghamton, New York, when a PCB transformer fire contaminated an entire building with dioxins and dioxin-like chemicals. We realized that everyone we tested for blood or fat had dioxins in their body, all Americans. It's not just from Agent Orange in Vietnam. And we've since found this to be true. Dioxins are a group of chemicals that are called persistent organic pollutants. These are persistent. They're man-made chemicals like DDT, now the brominated flame retardants, and dioxins. Dioxins are considered among the most toxic of these. They last for a long time in people's body and in the environment. They cause the health effects that Dr. Carpenter so well described. The EPA has done a nice job of lowering the amounts of dioxin in the environment and people. The amount of dioxins I measured in 1982 in New York and people's bodies was far higher than it is today. On the other hand, some of the other chemicals are going up, some of the polybrominated diphenyl ethers, bisphenol A, and others. So in trying to keep these at a lower level, this is a nice approach the state of New York is taking, leading beyond what EPA has done to lower the levels still to lower levels. We should not be complacent, though. We want, we eat food from supermarkets which come from other areas. So it's an excellent move for New York State, a very progressive move, to reduce the amount of dioxins emitted into air and then getting into our food. But we're also eating food from other states. So New York has got to be setting the standards for the other state and for EPA to regulate the amount of dioxins, to lower the amount of dioxins in meat and dairy products and fish, and thus improve the health of people. What's a bit frightening is the highest dose of dioxins that most of us are getting is while we're nursing children, because the dioxins are found in the fatty part of breast milk, and the dose is very high then. The other thing that's disturbing is even before birth, the mother transfers some of her dioxins and other persistent organic pollutants, or POPs, to the child. And the damage done from breastfeeding and before birth, it can be more substantial because the fetus and young babies are more susceptible than adults. So this is a major step forward, and we cannot be complacent, though, because the food we're getting at our supermarkets is not coming only from New York. It's coming from other states. We have to make this nationwide, and New York is leading the way. The other thing is to consider the other similar or related man-made chemicals which are getting into our food and our bodies. We're making progress. We made excellent progress with lead. The lead levels now in children are much smaller, lower than they used to be. The dioxin levels in adults that we measure now are much lower than I measured in Binghamton, New York, and others measured elsewhere in the 1980s. So this is yet one more step forward. Dioxins not only cause cancer on their own, they can promote other chemicals' cancers. So by making this major step forward in New York, we should be improving the health of people in New York and the United States, but we have to extend this to other states.
Okay, I guess it's my turn. This is Donald Hussig with Cancer Action in New York. My focus on this has been entirely on the dioxin exposure cancer risk. I've looked carefully at the US EPA dioxin reassessment, especially the risk characterization. The math is quite simple, really. It has been possible doing epidemiological studies on people that have been exposed to dioxins both in Vietnam and in pesticide production factories where dioxin was a contaminant in the pesticide production process. That epidemiology made it possible to develop a risk factor. It's called a cancer slope risk factor for dioxin. It's 1 in 1,000. You simply multiply the 1 in 1,000 by the amount of exposure. EPA has done some market basket surveys. They've looked at how much dioxin is in food. They have looked at this diet survey that's been done in years, I believe, by US FDA. The story is on the amount of exposure that takes place. It is 1 picogram per kilogram body weight per day. That's where it stands as far as I am concerned. FDA and EPA have been making noises about the level having actually gone down, so the exposure now is what they say is 0.6 picograms per kilogram body weight per day. I don't buy that. I don't see how they could have possibly cut it in half in that short of time period. So, we're just in argument over that simple little matter there. But if you multiply the 1 picogram per kilogram body weight per day times the 1,000 times the total population of the U.S., you come up with 200,000 Americans in 70 years, that's a lifetime, 200,000 Americans getting cancer just because of their dioxin exposure based on EPA's, most plausible and most reasonably accepted data and the epidemiology from lots of good studies. So it's a huge amount of cancer, far, far too much. And our point in all of this is, why is that information not being presented to Americans at the pace and at the rate and with the full-flung effort that's getting done on swine flu? Swine flu is not nearly CDC. You see, when is the day going to come that rather than seeing these signs of washing your hands on the walls in every bathroom, what about the signs in the supermarkets of not eating too much animal fat and getting, you know, dioxin and PCB'd rather than swine flu? It's certainly much more significant issue as far as public health goes. You know, we just come at this from, you know, think about, what do you want to do with the knowledge? What's the point in getting the knowledge? What are you going to do with it? Your kids, you want to tell your kids, of course you get the knowledge, you tell your kids how to make use of the knowledge. Well, we want government to help out with this. We can't tell all the kids. It's their job, CDC, New York State DOH, all the other state health departments, the county health departments, get this huge infrastructure. There's no reason they can't help us educate the public about dioxins in animal foods and these other persistent pollutants in animal fat foods and get people off, you know, the animal fat as long as the pollution's in there. This is the whole story. And that's all I want to say.
Thank you. This is Laura Height again. We're now going to move to Q&A. I just wanted to say that if you would like to receive, I'm not sure, I don't have everyone's email addresses, so if you would like to receive a copy of our news release, please email me at lhaight@nyprg.org, nyprg.org. Since we don't have a professional moderator here, and I'm doing the best I can, please, there might be some times where we talk over each other, but please announce yourself, and if you have a specific person you want to direct your question to, please let us know. May I have the first question, please?
Laura, I'll go first. Greg Clary from the Journal News. I wanted to ask, let me make sure I'm clear on where we are with this. One of the things that came up is that I think Dr. Schachter said something about the breastfeeding issue. Are you advocating any change in breastfeeding regarding this, sir?
That's a difficult question. Breastfeeding obviously is what is meant for a newborn to eat and drink.
Right.
On the other hand, if you have higher levels of toxic chemicals, dioxins and other the persistent organic pollutants and others that were mentioned today, that's not a good thing. So weighing something that's good for the infant against a newborn child against something that's bad is very difficult to do. If the level is extremely high, probably physician would advise the mother not to nurse for a long period of time. There's nothing you can do about the exposure before birth, but the length of nursing can be varied.
Okay.
And of course, some women have higher levels and some lower levels.
And also, based on the rural versus urban dioxin levels and exposure from open burning, wouldn't it seem that rural mothers should breastfeed less?
Well, most of the dioxins in our body, about 95%, are from eating food of animal origin.
Okay.
And we usually buy this at supermarkets, and this is shipped for hundreds or thousands of miles. So unless it's locally grown, I don't think there would be a difference between rural and urban.
Okay. And my follow-up question is for Donald. Donald, you mentioned two in over 70 years because of dioxin exposure. How does that stack up against other forms of cancer or other sources of cancer? The 200,000 seems like a large number. Does it stack in a 70-year period? Wouldn't there be other sources of cancer that would stack up much higher?
Well, not that we have the science for. The math has not been done on anything. You will not find a single other chemical where we actually have this population-based kind of risk development and being able to actually make that calculation. You can't do it for benzene. You can't do it for lead. You can't do it for any chemical that I'm aware of.
Well, Donald, you probably can do it for cigarette smoking, which
okay,
I think that's the other one that certainly has to be acknowledged as being a very, very important
preventable
source of cancer.
How would this stack up against cigarette smoking?
Well, it's impossible to answer that question because we don't really have dioxin levels in people. Everybody knows whether or not they smoke, so it's relatively that kind of data. But nobody knows what their dioxin levels are. These are expensive tests, $1,000 a shot, to determine someone's dioxin levels. So when someone develops cancer, it's very difficult to pinpoint what the cause of that cancer is.
Another way of looking at that is that dioxins are promoters of cancer. So if you smoke and have more dioxins in your body, you're going to get more cancer on a population basis than if you just smoke. They're both bad.
Okay, let's move on to another question, if we may.
This is Nick Reisman at the Polestar.
Hello?
Well, I thought I heard. Karen, I think was.
Go ahead. Here, there's a lot of weird background noises, which are going to sound great on the radio, let me tell you, but hopefully they won't come during your answers. This is sort of along the lines of the previous question. Is there any way to measure the effects of this burn ban? Do you think there'll be fewer cancer deaths because of it? And also, how do you enforce this? Are the DEC going to patrol places looking for this, or would they be reported? How would that work?
Well, assessing the effect is going to take some time. As Dr. Schechter said, dioxins stay both in the human body for an average of at least 7 years before you get rid of half of what you have in your body at present. And they're also very persistent in the environment. So even if we totally stop dioxin release from burn barrels today, it's going to take a number of years before that impact is felt in terms of the dioxin levels in the human population. We stopped, through the Clean Air Act, the major emission of dioxin from incinerators 20 years ago. And while the rates of some cancers are going down, it's impossible to say what fraction of that decline in rate is due to the Clean Air Act and what we did with incinerators a while ago. On the other hand, the evidence that dioxin is a cancer-causing agent is so strong, and we are monitoring the changes over time in the average dioxin level in the American population. So we know that is going to be reflected in a reduced risk of cancer over time. Now, the question about how to monitor this, that's obviously very difficult because burn barrels are most common in remote areas where there's no trash collection. This is going to require education as well as enforcement, and it's going to require communities setting up ways of collecting and safely getting rid of plastic-containing trash.
This is Don Hasiga. I can add a little bit on the enforcement aspect of this. New York State DEC now has a 24/7 dispatch line. It's an 800 number. Anybody that smells the smoke or sees the flames can call that number any time of the day, any time of the night, any time of the week, and get somebody that's going to hook somebody up with an environmental conservation officer, who are the first force in enforcing this regulation. County sheriff's departments they are perfectly appropriate, and they have the capacity and the mandate to help enforce this regulation. I know that in St. Lawrence County, our county sheriff, Kevin Wells, stated to me that the county sheriff's department, if we couldn't get someone from DEC to come out to a fire, that he would send his sheriff's department deputies out there.
Yes, and if you'd like to share that information, the hotline for the DEC is 1-800-TIPP-DEC, TIPP-DEC. Nick Reisman, you had a question.
Yeah, thanks, Laura. Just wondering, how many other states do not have a burn ban in place right now, and if there are just a handful of them, which ones are they?
That's a good question. I mentioned in my statement that all the states surrounding New York do have this ban and have had it for a long time because we've known for a long time what a serious problem open burning is, with the exception
except
of Pennsylvania. Does anybody know the answer to that question?
Well, one thing I want to add here, I've spoken with, her name is Erin Newman. She's in the Great Lakes Office of USEPA. She's actually a part of this burn barrel subgroup that the Binational Toxic Strategy Group has. And it was her understanding that not a single other state has such a full ban, and the fullness of the ban is very important here, because the exemption that exists in many of these other states' ban is on agricultural burning. And to let the ag burning of plastics take place in any state just because it has a ban on the backyard burning is horrible, because the most truly relevant burning situation is where this farm burning is taking place, and it's right in close proximity to the food crops of cattle. Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some communities in the North Country area that already do ban outdoor burning. So I guess how necessary is this law if there are already some rural areas that have taken care of this already?
Well, see, they haven't taken care of it. They have a ban on the books, but it doesn't get enforced. They have one guy, a code enforcement officer, to deal with many, many hundreds and hundreds of these burning barrels. They have not begun. They've had these bans on the books, and very little has happened as far as those bans come.
And it doesn't cover all the areas.
Most upstate communities are not covered, and you know the reason why a lot of the bans have been adopted is because citizen activists fought so hard, and a lot of those activists were involved in, you know, year after year trying to get the state to take action. I know in Otsego County in particular, you know, there's very active citizens working on education and also working on bans. And I don't have the numbers for you, but I think the majority of municipalities in the western part of the state and the northern part of the state that prior to today did allow open burning if they were under 20,000.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions?
This is Bob Joseph from WNBF in Binghamton. Dr. Schechter, is there any other step that could be taken by individual states or, for that matter, by the EPA that could also serve to dramatically reduce the amount of dioxin exposure for Americans?
Hi, Bob. It's been a long time. The question is an excellent one. Thinking rapidly, it was mentioned that animal fat, whether it's dairy products, meat, or fish, are how dioxin gets into our body. So, I mean, there could be monitoring of food to make certain that the dioxin level and other persistent organic pollutants are not in the foods, or if they are at very low levels. The lower fat amount of fat in the food we consume, the better. You know, for dioxin purposes, for heart health and other things. The way we cook our food, while government agencies are trying to reduce the amount in the environment, makes a difference. If you cut away the fat before you cook your food, if you eat low-fat ice cream instead of fat-rich ice cream, if you broil fat from the foods and let the fat strip away, you're getting a lower intake in your body. You know, I'd like to see not just state by state, but all the states have good regulations and then enforce them.
This is David Carpenter. Let me answer, add to that question, that answer from Dr. Schechter. I think there is one major other source that is a real problem. And that is the fact that in the U.S. and most developed countries, what happens is that waste animal fats are fed back to feed animals. I served on a National Academy of Science panel a few years ago, and we were told there that almost all waste animal fat gets back into the food animals. Now, after mad cow disease, we don't feed cow fat to cows. We feed it to pigs and chickens. We feed pig and chicken fat to cows. We feed fish oils to chickens in great amounts for the purpose of making them grow. Now, these animals are not normally carnivorous, but there's a fault in our agricultural system because, of course, if they get more fat, they grow more rapidly. But what this is doing is recycling dioxin and these other fat-soluble contaminants. So I think one thing that really needs to be done, and it has enormous fiscal implications on agriculture, is stop the recycling of waste animal fats back into the animals that we eat. Because while the levels, the releases have been going down thanks to the Clean Air Act and now thanks to the backyard burn barrel ban, if you're you're recycling these fats from animals, then the dioxin that was released 30 years ago is going to get back in our food supply.
Do these things break down at all?
They do break down, but very slowly.
Yeah, they last in the environment for hundreds of years. We found in Vietnam, Agent Orange sprayed... Agent Orange dioxin sprayed over 30 years ago can still be found in high levels in soil and some food and some people in Vietnam. And to pick up on what Dr. Carpenter just said, fish farming can feed fish fish meal, fish oils, or they can switch over to a soy or corn-based, thus lower in dioxin feed.
Who's speaking right now?
This is Dr. Schechter.
Oh, great. Thanks, Doctor. I'm sorry.
And so we have that fact that we're feeding fish as well as other types of animals, dioxins and their own fat, their own meal, their own oils. The other thing we didn't mention so far is their brominated dioxins and dibenzofurans, so that some of the flame retardants we're using right now, PBDEs, for example, when these are burned, these can also generate brominated dioxins and dibenzofurans, or dioxin-like chemicals. So it's not only the chlorinated dioxins, but it's the brominated ones as well that we need to worry about. So the actual volume may be higher than we're estimating, and that might be one of the reasons for the disagreement as to what the intake of dioxins is in Americans today.
Dr. Schechter, you had some firsthand experience with New York State government years ago. Are you surprised that it took decades before New York State finally implemented this kind of burning ban to protect its residents?
Well, I'm delighted, and of course I'm living in Texas now for the last 10 years, so I'm very pleasantly delighted that New York is doing a good job.
Are you surprised that it took so long to finally enact it?
No, it always takes longer than we would hope, because you have people with different points of view, economics, health, and just as the health bill before Congress now has all kinds of points of view being voiced, the same thing happens with environmental issues.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to add one more little piece to the answer to Bob's question. We're in the process of trying to get US FDA to ban this practice of the inclusion of animal fat in the feeds of food animals. And they're stonewalling. You know, they don't want to do this, and I know why, because it'll rock the boat, the economy. And we're just hopeful that as many people as possible will make comments on our website. You can find the docket, the information, and make comments on the need to get this practice behind us.
Don, why don't you state your website URL?
www.canceractionny.org.
Any other questions?
Nope.
Yes?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
No other questions. Okay, well, thank you all, and thank you to our panel.